We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and those of you joining us online. Today is a special Sunday. We are confirming Hunter Hedrick, and I want to thank the Fellowship Committee for hosting a reception after worship to celebrate. It will be in the Fellowship Hall, so please stay to congratulate Hunter after his confirmation. We're very grateful today to have Pastor Tim Brown joining us again. Pastor Tim is the Congregational Stewardship Director of Congregational Stewardship for the ELCA. He's been with us before, and I'm delighted to hear him preach today. The Women's Banquet is coming up in just a few weeks. Hopefully you've seen this in the holly leaf, but it's going to be on Monday, May 20th. And we've got RSVPs ready to go. Hopefully you got one of these when you came in, but if not, they're by the red doors. Make sure you get one on your way out. I just want to lift up that every Sunday in May, there is something special going on, and I hope that you will join us. So today we've got Hunter Hedrick's confirmation. Next Sunday is Ascension Sunday, where we celebrate and remember the ascension of Jesus. The following Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and then the Sunday after that is Trinity Sunday. So very special and holy days in May. I hope that you'll join us for worship on those days. Joe Davis has a couple of announcements for some scholarship items. So June 2nd, you want to come forward, Joe? June 2nd is going to be our graduation Sunday. We have four high schoolers graduating and three, maybe four college students who want to be, they're all graduating, but one of them might not want to be celebrated. And so the scholarship committee wants to put together another fundraiser since we have so many graduates.
Good morning. I think most of you have a survey today, is that correct? And what we're looking at is, if you've ever been to any of the PTA booster or PTA boosters raffles, they do things called baskets. And they're not really baskets. Sometimes it's a laundry basket. Sometimes it's a 5-gallon bucket, different things like that. But there's a theme for each of these, and then items go in there. So like a movie night basket might include microwave popcorn. This, for the young ones, they don't know what this is, but like DVDs, Blu-ray, something like that. But, you know, different candies and things like that, that if you were going to the movies or you're having a movie night at home. A golfer's delight, a sleeve of golf balls, some tees, maybe a pass for Lexington or Sepona or golf course or driving range or something like that. So what we want to do is see what type of items or what favorite baskets you might have. Our goal is to have between 6 and 10 baskets that we can raffle off through silent auction. Combination of silent auction and some by buying tickets like we've done before for the gift card basket, and then we draw winners there. So we want to have a combination of those things. Again, our scholarship fund is doing well, but we always want to continue that we have plenty to, that we can offer every one of our graduates when they go to their next level of education, that we have a gift for them. So if you would, before you leave, if you will kind of circle a few of these that, or check off a few of those on the, I didn't see that, I haven't, I'm sorry. Somebody got one of those surveys. I left mine back there. Okay, but if you will just follow directions on there and either give them to me on the way out or sit them on the, sit them back there with Neil and Chip and on the desk, and I will get them afterwards. Our date for this is June 23rd, so we have time. We would like for these baskets to be ready middle, no later than the last Sunday in May, so that people will have an opportunity to bid on them in the silent auction, and you'll be able to see them. And I'll video or take pictures like I did last time in the fall, so that we see what auction items are out there. So if you have any questions whatsoever, if any of you want to get together with another family or something and create one, that would make it a little bit more cost efficient for you. And we look forward to having a great afternoon after church. We want everybody to stay, regardless of whether you bid on anything or not. We are going to have a meal. and we welcome everyone, and this is another way that we can pat our graduates on the back and send them off with at least a little bit of pizza money. All right, thank you.
And last but not least, we have a few birthdays, anniversaries, and a baptism this week. Celebrating their birthday is Billy Curry, Allison Lohr, and Rosalie Summer. Celebrating their anniversaries, Lynn and Latifah Dennis, Carolyn and Chad Hedrick, and Maddie Lohr Pope is remembering her baptism this week. Do you want to pray, Brantley? Okay. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the wellspring of grace, our Easter and our joy. Amen. Look, here is water.
Here is our water of life. Alleluia.
Immersed in the promises of baptism, let us give thanks for what God has done for us. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your voice thundered over the deep, and water became the essence of life. Adam and Eve beheld Eden's verdant rivers. Miriam led the dancing as your people passed through the sea into freedom's land. In a desert pool, the Ethiopian official entered your boundless baptismal life. At the river, your beloved son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you open the floodgates of your reconciling love, freeing us to live as Easter people. We rejoice with glad hearts, giving all honor and praise to you through the risen Christ, our source of living water, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Look, here is water.
Here is our water of life.
Alleluia. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Set us free to be people of God.
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you joys beyond understanding. Pour into our hearts such love for you that loving you above all things, we may obtain your promises, which exceed all we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message with Pastor Tim.
Good morning. Come on up. Good morning. Good morning. All right. So, I like those Crocs. So, I have a question for you. Look around here. I want you to do something for me. Show me or tell me something that you see that has some sort of meaning with it. You see something that has meaning. You can look around. And you can't be wrong. You can even look behind you. What has meaning? Anybody? The what? The stole? That's right. All right, good. Stoles. So this has meaning, right? This has meaning. This is a pastor who's preaching. It's the yoke of Christ, we call it. When he used to hook up ox, they used to put a yoke around it. This is a yoke of Christ. And it's a certain color. What color is this one? White, exactly. All right. And really, I promise you, there's no wrong answer, okay? All right? So what other colors of stoles do we wear? Does anybody know? Yes, sir. Purple, very good. All right, so we got a purple stole. Can you stand up, my friend? Can you stand up? Remind me your name.
Marcus,
that's right. All right, Marcus, you wear this for a second? Awesome. All right, purple stole. When do we see purple stoles? Does anybody remember? When do we see purple stoles? Does anybody remember? There can't be a wrong answer. It's okay. Lent, right? We said Lent. Very good. Lent. Lent is when we see purple stoles. And Lent is the season where we talk about being penitent or sorry or sad. And it's purple for that reason. It's kind of sad. It's purple. Although purple's one of my favorite colors. I like that purple dress you're wearing there. What other stoles do we see? What other colors? What is it? Blue, very good. All right. Sawyer, can you stand up? Blue stoles. All right. Now, when do we see blue stoles? Does anybody remember? When do we see blue stoles?
Advent.
Very good. Blue for expectation. For stand up one more second. Blue for expectation and for joy and to celebrate. And blue is not for baby boy. I don't know why people say that. Because if you remember, it just changed to blue. Does anybody remember when it changed to blue? Because it used to be purple. You remember? Oh, man. You are much older than you look. It was in the 1960s is when it changed to blue, from purple to blue. All right? What other colors? What other colors of souls? Yes, sir?
Green.
Green. You're right. Thank you. All right, can you wear this for me? Green, very good. All right, green, when do we see green? We don't really know what it's called, right? It's called ordinary time. Right, ordinary time, kind of regular time. Why? Well, because green is a time where things grow. And ordinary time in the church is when things are growing, when we grow in faith, when we grow in spirituality. And that's why it's the longest season that we have, the green one, when things grow. We're about to enter the green season, right? I usually call it the green season. You look good like that. All right. What other colors? Red. Very good. Red. Can you stand up, ma'am? Remind me your name. Hannah. Good to see you, Hannah. Here we go. Red. We're about to do red in just a little bit. That fits you perfectly. All right. Red. When do we see red?
Pentecost.
And anybody else? Reformation, confirmations, right? Things like that, right? Yeah, red for the fire of the Holy Spirit, red for the blood of the martyrs, all that sort of stuff. That's when we see red. And there's actually one last color. It's very special. Yes. Yellow, you're close. Yeah, very good. Yellow, gold. Although our Catholic siblings have yellow for Mary, we have gold. And there's only two times a year when you red gold. Can you stand up, my man? Can you stand up? Can you put this around your shoulders? Is that okay?
It fits perfectly.
Gold. Gold, we only wear it twice a year. We wear it on Christmas Eve, and we wear it on Easter. Those are the two times a year we wear gold. Everything we have has meaning. Gold, celebrating the very special event where we're really happy and joyous. White, we're celebrating the purity of God, and we're very happy and joyous. Green, when we're growing in spirituality. Lent, when we're feeling penitential, and we're saying, I'm sorry, and we're reflecting on our life. Red, when we're embracing the fire of the Holy Spirit. And blue, when we are celebrating expectation and waiting for God. Everything has meaning. Can you guys stand up? Future pastors, everybody, right? All of them, all right? Everything that we have has meaning. Everything that we do has meaning. So I want you to look around and notice things in here. And after worship, I want you to come up and ask Pastor Anna what all these things mean, okay? Everything in this church. She knows the answer. I know. But I have something to tell you really quickly, so come in close.
After you go tell somebody what Pastor Tim asked you to tell them, you all may go to Children's Church with Miss Susan.
The New Testament lesson is from Acts chapter 10. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Hear now the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus said to them, "As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in God's love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Good morning, Holly Grove.
Good morning.
Good to be back with you. Thank you. I was back with you, I think, when I was young and full of dreams. I think it was last October. And we had a confirmation last time, too. And so every time I come, you're going to have a confirmation. It's going to be fun. But no, it's really great to be back with you. Thank you for that today. I invite you to pray with me. Holy One, we invite you to abide with us today. Holy One, we pray that we abide in you today. Amen. So, I asked him when we were leaving church, so, are you going to come back? And he looked at me, he said, what? You mean the Church of Jazzercise? Probably. How many of you remember Jazzercise? Anybody? If you were born, as my son says, if you were born in the 1900s, you probably remember Jazzercise. And I'm not going to tell you whether or not my mother ever enrolled in the Jazzercise classes that happened across at the local strip mall in Toledo, Ohio, where my brother's daycare was. And I'm not going to opine whether or not we had VHS tapes, even before DVDs, with the word Jazzercise on the front of it, and whether or not my mother did that in the living room, telling us we can't come in here for 30 minutes. I won't say, but I do remember Jazzercise, and fun fact, I found a Jazzercise right around the corner from my house, no lie, just the other day. It's still alive and well. But my friend was coming out of the Chapel of the Resurrection at Valparaiso University. And we were the same age, and we were coming out of this chapel, and he was from a non-denominational background. And so he wasn't used to all the ups and downs that we Lutherans do. And so he said it reminded him of Jazzercise. Stand up for this song, sit for this reading, stand for that reading, stand for this part of the baptism, come forward for communion, sit for communion, stand for a blessing, sit with the pastor as they drone on during the sermon. It's the Church of Jazzercise. That's what we have. I've heard more than one person comment on the up and down of our worship. They said, even Catholics don't stand this much, one person said. I told them, you're free to sit. And they reminded me that they don't like to be standing out. And then they said, but I like the exercise. So, here's the thing. Like with everything that we have in church, like with the children's sermon that we have today, everything has meaning. So, why do we stand at certain points in the service? And you may think I'm asking you this question in reality, and if you have an answer, you can go ahead and give it, but I'm going to tell you. Why do we stand? Why do we sit? Well, some of it is totally practical. Listen, the choir director will even tell you, you sing better when you stand. Is that not true, right? We sing better. At this church, you people, you are awesome singers. We've done this a couple of times in services. I'm not going to have you sing today, though I will sing later in the sermon. You're welcome to sing with me. This church has some of the best congregational singing I've ever been in. We're not very good at giving amens, though. That's one thing we don't do. But you sing better when you stand. And my vocal coach when I was at Valparaiso University always told me that because I'm a sloucher. And I slouch by nature and always have. And she used to tell me, back straight, voice strong. Like some sort of karate sensei teaching me new moves. I know how to stand up straight. I just forget. But what about other standing that we do in this service? Like for the gospel. Why do we stand for the gospel? Does anybody know? Respect, right? Yeah. You'll notice that we don't have other readings that we stand for in the gospel. But even if the other readings were for other days, and you were even preaching on, like, say, the epistle lesson, which you did last week, right? You didn't stand for the epistle. We stand for the gospel. Why is that? Isn't the Bible all the same? Well, no. Any good Lutheran will tell you that. The parts of the scripture that tell the story of Jesus are held in higher regard with higher authority, and so we stand to hear them. We stand as if somebody very important came into the room at that moment. The highly revered matriarch or patriarch of the family, or the one who has the highest office. We stand to hear the gospel because we do with our bodies what we must do with our souls, beloved. We stand. We may sit through all the other readings, but this one where Jesus is front and center, this one is the one we stand for, the one we abide in, the one we make our home in. The one we abide in. Jesus says that word a couple of times today. The Greek word for abide literally means to tent or to camp or to make a home. We abide in the gospel. We make that our home. It's one of the reasons that while you'll sometimes hear us preach on other texts from this pulpit, it won't be on the regular. Truly, there is wisdom throughout all of Scripture, but we stand, beloved, when wisdom itself speaks the words of Jesus. Do you see what I mean? But we forget to do that sometimes. Truly, we abide in all sorts of things in our life, not in the gospel, not in Christ. We abide in our jobs and in our families and our communities, and truly, those are good things, but sometimes they leave us wanting. We abide in our addictions, in our egos. I abide in my highly regarded opinions, though I'm the only one who regards them highly. And sometimes we will stand in these spots over and over and over again. Sometimes we will stand in these spots over against the voice of Jesus. We abide in our cynicism. We abide in our politics. We abide in our range. We abide in our grudges. We abide in our gossip. We abide in our greed. We dwell in these things and make them our base of operations. We make them our home, not the Christ. The problem with abiding in those places for too long, my friends, is that they are dead places. And they will kill us eventually. They kill our souls. They kill our relationships. We've seen this. They kill our ability to be the person that God has created us to be in the end. They burn us in insatiable fire because greed is a road that never ends, and gossip is a telephone that never hangs up, and cynicism turns every flower into a weed, and rage makes every emotion destructive. They are not places where you want to live. They are not places where you want to set up your tent. They are not places where you want to camp or abide because they cannot sustain you. They do not have a river of life. They take, but they do not give. They demand, but they do not offer. There you can sleep, but you will never rest. You'll eat, but you'll never be full in these other places that we abide in this world. In the dead places of our being, in the dead places of this world, setting up camp there, abiding there for too long, it's never going to give you what you want. Never. It will never give you the kind of love that your heart truly desires, the kind of love that Jesus talks about today. And so today we have Christ, wisdom embodied, reminding us to abide not in dead places, but in the dead and resurrected one, with back straight and voice strong, so that we might receive love and life even as we give love and that life. You know, I remember a day a few years ago when my sons, I have Finley, who's now 11, and Alistair, who is 9, and they're at church with their grandparents today. But I remember being out to eat with them, and, let me just say that Dad, that day, had not been abiding in love, and had not been abiding in Christ, had been abiding in too many dead things that day. And so I couldn't muster the energy to cook. I'm sure none of you know what that's like. And so we went out to eat. And across from us at the table was a father with 3 other children. And we gave the dads alone in the restaurant nod, right? And those kids were not too much older than my boys. And it had been a rough day for them too, I could tell. You can tell. They looked weary and ragged, as that old spiritual says, I'm tired, I'm weak, I am worn. And the youngest, probably about 7, is sitting there and all of a sudden, just for no reason, spilled his drink all over the table, just whoosh, everywhere. And the father, angrily got up from his seat, cleaned it all up with his napkins, and you know, he did the angry clean. You know what the angry clean looks like? And in a huff, he sat back down, and the boy, very apologetic, I could tell he was very sorry, he got up and went himself to get some more iced tea, and he sat back down, and he promptly spilled it all over again, everywhere. It was truly an accident, but that did not matter. The father got up and he wrenched the boy from the chair and he slammed him down in another seat and he cleaned it up and choice words followed and he got to cleaning up everything and everyone sat silently and cried. And we've all been there. We all know that feeling, that scenario. And I felt bad for him. I felt bad for the dad. I felt bad for the kids at the table because it had been a hard day already, obviously. And it is tough being 7. And it is even tough being 47 with 3 kids. And it is tough being 43 with 2 kids. And I'd like to say that I never behaved that way, but beloved, I spill drinks and I wrench my loved ones from their seats, metaphorically and literally, all the time. And that moment needed the old spiritual. See, there is wisdom in the spirituals. Like, I wish he could have, in that moment, chosen to abide himself not in the bad day, but in the wisdom of the spirituals that invites us to abide in the love of God. I wanted to stand up and sing in the middle of the barbecue joint, "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." Because I do not live in a musical, I did not do that. But I wanted to. In that moment, I wanted to choose to abide not in the anger or the mistakes, but in the calming love that leads through the storm, not becomes it. Leads through the storm, not becomes it. The one who looked over the waters and said, "Peace," that's where I want to abide, not in the stormy waters. And I looked at my 2 boys, happily eating their barbecue, Alistair licking the sauce out of the little plastic cup because he's disgusting and takes after his father like that. And I knew that in that moment, I needed to recamp myself. I needed to abide in a different place than when I had walked in. Not in the weariness of the day and not in my frustration at what I had said or what had been said to me, but in the beauty of the one who first moved over the chaos of the waters and created the calm of the day and the night. The chaos of my waters needed the calm of wisdom embodied. The one who is at the beginning with God and through whom all things came into being. And the one who said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." The branches get blown around by the wind and they move up and down in the storms of life, but the vine is deeply rooted like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. We stand up and we sit down a lot in this worship, beloved, because there are ups and downs in this life. And we must remember with our whole bodies where to stand. When to stand and where to abide. Where to return when we feel uprooted. Because they tried to uproot Christ from this world. They even hung him on another tree. But like a mustard weed, he crept back out of that tomb and into our world. A weed that wouldn't go away, reliable, full of life. Wisdom reminds us that we are invited to abide in love. Abide in God today, beloved. It's why we stand where we do. And it's not jazzercise exactly, but it is good for you. And good for me. So I wonder, beloved, even as you're sitting there, where are you abiding? Thank you.
invite Hunter to join me at the prompt.
And Neil is presenting Hunter today as a representative of both the congregation and the brotherhood, whom Hunter's granddad was a part of for more years than we can count. Dear friends, we give thanks for the gift of baptism and for this brother, one with us in the body of Christ, who is making public affirmation of his faith. You know, there are a lot of seasons in life and in the church, and although the white seasons and the blue seasons and the purple seasons have their special meaning, my favorite season is the green season, because one of my favorite things to do as a pastor is to walk alongside of you in the very ordinariness of life, learning what it means to follow Jesus as we live out our faith together. And it has been a gift for me to walk alongside of Hunter these last couple of years, but especially these last few months. Hunter came to me and said, I want to be confirmed. And he had gone through a year of confirmation, but for the past few months, we've been meeting about once a week to read and to study, and he has asked wonderful questions and has thought so deeply about so many things about our faith and about Christ. And so I am honored today to confirm you. And Neil, can you go get the picture frame and the white scarf up there? I know many of you are delighted today as well because you remember Hunter being baptized all those years ago as a little infant. And I asked his mom and dad to bring a photo of that today. Look at how tiny you were when Pastor Mako baptized Hunter. So we're going to have this sitting on the table at the reception.
I present Hunter Paul Hedrick, who desires to make public affirmation of his faith.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for this brother, whom you have made your own by water and the word in baptism. You have called him to yourself, enlightened him with gifts of your spirit, and nourished him in the community of faith. Uphold your servants in the gifts and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Hunter, do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God, the powers of this world that rebel against God, and the ways of sin that draw you from God? If so, say, I renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. If so, say, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
People of God, do you promise to support this brother and pray for him in his life in Christ?
We do, and we ask God to help and guide us.
Hunter, I invite you to kneel here at the font, and if you'll grab the white scarf. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give us new birth. Cleanse us from sin and raise us to eternal life. Stir up in Hunter the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. You may stand. Let us rejoice with this brother in Christ. We rejoice with you in the life of baptism. Together we will give thanks and praise to God and proclaim the good news to God the world. Amen. You may welcome this brother into the confirmed membership of Holly Grove Lutheran Church.
Rejoicing that Jesus is risen and love has triumphed over death and fear, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of good news. Your Holy Spirit falls upon all who hear the word. Fill your church with the gifts of your Spirit and give understanding hearts to those who strengthen our commitments with our ecumenical and interreligious partners. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You speak and the face of the earth is renewed. Revive your creation that habitats and every kind of living thing might flourish. Protect endangered species and help us to care for all your creatures. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Your world is divided and the nations rage. Grant wisdom and vision to world leaders that they may seek justice, peace, and the good of all. Strengthen international partnerships and cooperation. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Your children are in need. Comfort all those who suffer, especially those afflicted by anxiety, depression, and mental illness. Help us to be conduits of your love in our care for one another. We pray especially for Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Scott, Jim, Mike, Myra, Debbie, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts.
Bobby,
God of grace,
we are greater.
Your work is done in this place with our hands. Bless the ministries of this congregation that we may embody your love for the world. Inspire those who plan and lead worship, council members, committee members, and volunteers. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Your blessed saints now rest in you. Give us thankful hearts for those who have gone before us. At the last, bring us all together around your heavenly banquet table. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love. Through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to move around and share the peace of Christ with one another.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Generous God, in this meal you offer your very self. We give thanks for these gifts of the earth. In the breaking of this bread, reveal to us the risen one. In the pouring of this wine, pour us out in service to the world. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with the earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and this cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us sing the prayer that our Lord taught us. Risen Christ is made known to us in the breaking of bread. Come and eat at God's table.
Thank you.
For the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and to serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let's say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.